Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Larry.
First, before I actually start, I'd like to have Jeannie come up with me and Ken and Becky come up. We'd like to present to you and the church something special that we received. One of the places we get to go and serve is the country of China. And I'll talk about that later this morning. My message has two parts, one from a scripture and then sharing what God has been doing. But a seminary in China, Yingling in Nanjing, presented something to us. And this is Psalms 23 in Chinese, hand done. And this is something, I don't know where you'll put it, in your home, in the church. But when you see this, number one, remember the Lord really is not only your shepherd, but the shepherd of the Chinese believers and believers and non-believers around the world. And so pray for them. But that is something we wanted to see if I can roll this back up. And thank you so much for your financial support, your prayer support, and in so many ways, we are so grateful. We could not do what we have been doing for 48 years, nearly 50, without individuals and churches like you all. So, it still fits. But
thanks.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you. Yes. Well, it is good to be back here with you all. Jeannie and I always enjoy coming back here to Victory Christian Fellowship, VCF. It feels like home. We see familiar faces, periodically some new faces, and we are so, so grateful for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. And this morning, I have two parts to what I'll be doing this morning. The first is from Scripture in Joshua. And then based on that, I'll move into a section of just reporting, rejoicing what the Lord has been doing around the world. And one of the things I've been trying to do for the last 20 years, and I was actually motivated by the founder, president, CEO of a large trucking company here in the U.S. was, I was on a phone call with him, and he shared how he reads through the scriptures either every year or every 14 months or on a regular basis. And one of the reasons he does that is he reads through it, underlines, makes notes, and then has one for each of his children and one for each of his grandchildren. So I've been doing that, have not presented them to the children or the grandchildren at this point. But in the context of that, earlier this year, I came and I was reading through Joshua. And Joshua 24 was his last words to the people of Israel. And before I get to Joshua 24, in Joshua 23, he gave a farewell address to the leaders, and he called them together. And I won't read through the entire passage, but I'll hit some highlights. In Joshua 23, verse 3, he says, "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you." Remember this. Verse 9, or no, verse 6, be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law without turning aside to the right or to the left. You must not serve foreign gods. The Lord has driven out your enemies before you. Verse 14, now I am about to go the way of all of the earth. He was about ready to pass on to glory. And then he reminds them of the importance of following the word of God. So built on that, the next thing Joshua did was pull together the whole congregation of Israel, assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. And as I read down through this passage, these are Joshua's last words to the people of God. I see a lot of action words. He was pointing out that God is a God of action. God is a God who is one who follows through on his love for his people and his patience and his forgiveness. But some of the things that Joshua was reminding the people of is verse 2. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Verse 3, I took your father Abraham from beyond the land of Euphrates. So it started with Abraham. Beyond the river of Euphrates, that's present-day Iraq, southern Iraq, brought him from there all the way over to the promised land. God sent Moses and Aaron. I brought you your people out of Egypt. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. Again, verse 8, I brought you to the land of the Amorites. I gave them into your hands. Verse 11, then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. I gave them into your hands. Again, what God was doing, Joshua's reminding them of. So as I look at the first part of the chapter, he was reflecting on the importance to remember not only who they were, where they came from, but what he had and continues to do for them. But then he shifted. In verse 14, he says, now fear the Lord. Let's see here. In one version it says, now therefore fear the Lord. So therefore refers to what he just said. So now therefore fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. And Joshua then fully said, here's what I and my household are going to do. We will serve the Lord. And the people, I can imagine they were all excited and they had just been reminded of what God had done. And they said, yes, we will serve the Lord. I chuckle. That's maybe not the right response. But in verse 19, Joshua said, yeah, you just said you're going to serve the Lord. But he said, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and sin. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you. But the people said, no, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord. And they said, yes, we are witnesses. All the people said in verse 24, we will serve the Lord. And then he set up an altar to remind them of the fact that they made that promise. Now we know the rest of the story. After Joshua, Caleb led the people, and soon prophets and kings. And right now I'm reading where people of Judah and the people of Israel, the kings of Israel, were pretty much not serving the Lord. They were serving Baal, and God's judgment was going on them. And the people of Judah, sometimes they had a good king, sometimes they didn't. And they lived out what Joshua was promised to them. As I reflect on this, Joshua is asking the people to do two things. Number one, he's asking them to fear the Lord. Fear is not to be afraid. It's a beautiful phrase. It's the scriptures say in Proverbs, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So it's to honor, to revere, to have a humble submission to a loving God. So Joshua is asking them, and I'm applying all of this to me and to us also, that we are to have a reverential fear, reverential awe of our Maker. Scriptures indicate that the fear of the Lord will do a couple things. It'll keep you clean. Joseph feared the Lord, it says, and he ran from temptation. It will keep you confident. Proverbs 14, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Abraham feared the Lord, and when he was asked to leave and go to a land where he didn't have any idea what it was like, he had that reverential awe, and he was obedient. First, fear the Lord. Secondly, Joshua was asking them to serve the Lord with sincerity and to put away foreign gods. He was asking them to not only put them away, but not let the people around them who were fearing other gods, following other gods, serving other gods, he was saying, that's trouble. Don't do that. Don't let them influence you. I have to ask myself, just like there were many distractions of foreign gods to the people of Israel, what are the distractions that affect us? Facebook? I don't know. It could be. Doesn't have to be. Media? Social media? Music? Possessions? What are things that can take our attention off of fearing the Lord as well as serving the Lord? That was the message that Joshua was bringing to them. One of the things I think that comes under the choices we have of fearing the Lord and serving Him, I think as Joshua was reflecting that, on that, he was reflecting back to earlier in his life as he and the Israelites were moving from Egypt to the Promised Land. And in Deuteronomy 6, he was reflecting, I think, back on these words, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. We're familiar with those words. But then the next verse is, and these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. God's pattern for choosing to fear Him, to serve Him, needs to be passed on. Whether we're a grandparent, or a parent, or a son, or a daughter, there are others we have the responsibility to pass on what God has done. People, others need people like you to be able to relay on what God has done and what He continues to do. I'm reminded, it's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, I can't remember which one. Paul talked about how we are partners with God. Can you get a... I mean, when I think about that, it's like, I'm a partner. God chooses me to be a partner with Him. God chooses you to be a partner with Him. We are partners with Him to pass on the truth and the love of the gospel. Take time to remember what God has done for you, for your family, for your community, for the church at large around the world. And Joshua, in light of all of that, says, be strong. Be courageous. Pass on to others God's faithfulness. That's what you and I get to do on a daily basis. One last little story. I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago meeting with some international publishers, and I was on my way back to Chicago O'Hare in either an Uber or a Lyft. I can't remember which. And I always love to hear the stories of the drivers, and usually they have a foreign accent. And we got talking and discovered this guy was I cannot now remember what country, but it was a Muslim country. And and he had emigrated here about 20, 25 years ago. And we got talking about that. And he had made a statement about, like, thank God for that. And there's almost always entree points into sharing what about God. And a little later, he was thanking God for his last child, even though that last child had come years behind the other ones. And I said, you know, you mentioned thank God. I said, are you a man of faith? And he said, oh, yes, I am. And I said, well, so am I. I said, and he went ahead and said that he was a follower of Allah. He was a Muslim. And he got talking about that. And I said, well, I said, I am a man of faith also, and I am a believer. I'm a Christian. We got talking, and he said, fully admitted, our goal is to have as many people in the world become Muslims. And I had never heard a Muslim say that. I know that's their tenets. And I said, well, I understand. I said, and I laughed and chuckled, and I said, and my goal is for everybody to hear about Jesus Christ and to become Christians. So we were going back and forth and so forth and so on. I asked him, I said, do you read? And he was talking about Jesus. And he said, oh, yeah, I read. So I had the opportunity to give him one of Josh's new books, Evidence for Jesus. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll read that. So you never know what God does through you, but that's just a little example. God brings you into people's lives for a reason. You don't have to be all eloquent. You basically share, listen, and share what God has done and what God can do for them. Let me move into the second part, and that is remembering the faithfulness of God. Personally, first of all, Jeannie and I, I think many of you are aware we have two children. We now have 8 grandchildren and are very happy to have each one of them ages, I think, 11 to 1. I'm looking over to Jeannie to make sure I'm right. I think our 11-year-old's about ready to become 12 next month. During the pandemic, moved to Tyler, Texas, which is about 100 miles east of Dallas. And for the last 3.5 years, I've been commuting back to Dallas and working in the office 3 days a week, unless I'd been on the road. But our daughter and her family live out in Tyler, and four of our grandchildren live there. Our son Scotty and his family have four, and they are serving the Lord with our organization, with CRU, Campus Crusade, in the Middle East in Turkey. And so you can pray for them. And we don't get to see them very often, except by Zoom, and we're thankful for the opportunities to connect. But just a little personal update. As far as ministry, Josh McDowell Ministry this year is celebrating 60 years of ministry. That is a long time. Josh turns 85 next month, and he's getting up there, and he is not traveling and speaking like he used to do, or writing, but we have three younger speakers in their 20s and 30s, and he's spending a lot of time mentoring them as well as others and doing some video, and we as a ministry are preparing for the next 60 years. I won't be there in 60 years, but it's good to reflect on what God has done, like Joshua did. Yeah. Not rest in your laurels, but seek the Lord and say, as we fear you, as we choose to serve you, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do and to be? So that's what we are looking at right now as a team. We still have the same mission and vision. We seek to serve others until the whole world hears about Christ. Jeannie and I have the opportunity to especially give leadership to our global team. It's 10 to 12 people. Some live overseas. Some live here in the States. And that's a great team that are making Josh's and our ministry's resources available. I'll talk about some of these later, but a lot of Arabic, Chinese, Russian, Central Asia languages, and so forth. I mentioned that I went to China earlier this year. I was invited to go. It was my first time in since the pandemic, and went with a small group of Christian leaders. The purpose was to basically reestablish relationships with the people we work with. Since it had been 4 or 5 years, leadership changes, you have to almost start all over again. And our ministry there has been working through the official channels. We got that advice many years ago. And so one of the things we do is present graduating seminary students with a set of Josh's books. And as I was there, I heard so many times from so many seminary professors, seminary presidents, students, how valuable Josh's books are. One of the things that is happening in that country is there are a lot more heresies cropping up, and they said Josh's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, is one of our best tools against the heresies. From China, I went down to Hong Kong and met with our partner who helps us with the seminary book gifting and our ministry up there, and got an update with them. Then I returned to Hong Kong in May with two of our staff, had four meetings. But I'll highlight one of them. One of them was with a lady, Josephine Ling. She, many years ago, had heard Josh speak. And at that point in her life, she and her husband had two teenagers. The daughter was really struggling, actually really rebelling. Josephine shared how at that point she was just saying, Lord, help my daughter, help my daughter, help my daughter. Nothing wrong with that prayer. She heard Josh speak on the six A's. Actually, it's seven A's, but in the Chinese culture, the number seven is not a good number, so we said six A's plus a bonus one. It's things like acceptance, appreciation, and building relationships that transform. And all of a sudden, one day when her daughter is threatening to commit suicide, Josephine said, my prayers changed from Lord, help my daughter, to Lord, help me love my daughter. And she said that was a shift. And as she heard Josh's talk, she said, the people of Hong Kong need this. So she created an organization called Character City Hong Kong, and she has talked about the six A's. This is the book, Six A's, in Chinese. She has taught it over 1,000 times, trained over 120 facilitators to teach it. Those are the kinds of things we get to be a part of. We initiate. The Lord raises up people to take the ideas and multiply it. I've got to keep moving. In the Middle East, we do a whole lot of distribution of the resources. There's what we call a Josh Media app. It's actually Josh McDowell Books and Media app that has a lot of Josh's resources on this. And if you go to the, whether it's Android or Apple, you can download it. And there's about 18 different languages, over 150 books, and some audio and videos. And these are picked up in countries like Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, many, many closed countries across the Arabic world, across the Gulf. So that's another area that we get to serve, not necessarily in the country, but I was with a lot of those leaders in the country of Georgia in Central Asia in February and met with probably leaders from 15 to 20 different countries, asking them, what are they trusting God for? How can we serve them through the resources that we have? One of the books is More Than a Carpenter in Arabic, that has been not only printed, but made available digitally. One of the countries in Central Asia, a very closed country, it was pretty open, and then government changed, all the churches were closed down, Western Christians basically asked to leave, and to even have a Bible or a Christian book, you could get arrested for. And it has become more open now, but still they have to be very careful. But I heard about a story about a girl, a student at a university who trusted Christ. And she had always worn the Muslim garb, the burqa, and basically see out through the eyes at the university and so forth and so on. Her family was very strict Muslim. One day, at the university setting, she decided that she'd take the burqa off, like many of the university students. Her father found out about it. He assumed that she had become a believer, or he had heard that. He killed her. In that shame culture, it was very shameful for him as father to have a child that had gone away from his faith. That's the kind of thing that happens not only in this country that I'm talking about, but others. A follow-up to that story, one of the things that the person who was talking with me said, after this girl was killed, we heard that God was working through that and many were coming to Christ. And they were saying, if my religion does this, it doesn't make sense to me. What are the alternatives? And this young lady who had been martyred, what did she believe? What was she willing to die for? And so those are the kind of people that we get to come alongside and serve. In the country, in Persia, biblical name, last year I was either emailed or called by a guy who had fled Persia with his wife over 20 years ago. And he said, I have a ministry inside Persia, and I would like permission to print More Than a Carpenter as well as another of Josh's books, and print 5,000 of each of them and hand them out to at Christmas parties with our underground churches. In Persia, it's the fastest growing church of the world right now. And he had a direct alliance or connection with over 800 churches. And he said, we would distribute them very carefully through these churches. And here's the catch. He was printing them inside the country. I was amazed. And I met with him, said, tell me more. Since then, he printed those. He's printed another 10,000 and distributed them this spring. And just a couple weeks ago, he said, I need another 10,000. So those are the kinds of things God is doing. In Turkey, I heard from a printer in Turkey who prints our books there, that he was contacted by a pastor in another city that had a seminary. And he said, the pastor said, the seminary president was asking for 300 copies of Evidence That Demands a Verdict in Turkish to give to each of the students. And of course, we said absolutely, and the pastor said absolutely, or the printer said absolutely. Here's the catch. It wasn't a Christian seminary. It was a Muslim seminary. When I heard that, I was like, God is doing amazing things. The president wanted his students to learn about other religions. Well, we know God's word does not turn away void, and Evidence That Demands a Verdict helps people understand who Jesus is, the reliability of the scriptures, the fact that the resurrection actually did happen. Another person in Egypt who heads up the digital strategies there said, I've come across a book called 77 Frequently Asked Questions. And this is, you can read the 77, but if you can read the Arabic, actually this is, I was holding it up last week at a church and said it was Arabic, and we do have it in Arabic, but this actually is in Dari for Pakistan. So it's hard for me sometimes to tell the difference between the characters. But anyway, the principle is, he said, we have 77 FAQs, or frequently asked questions, in Arabic. And he said, I and my team would like to create 365 short 30 to 60 second videos based on the 77 questions. And we said, absolutely, what's it going to take? And he needed some funding and some help and so forth. And he has been working on the first 50. We just got funding for another 100. So we're on the way to 365. But he shared with me that the first day he put that short video out on the web, over 15,000 downloaded from not only Egypt, but from the Gulf. And in the Gulf, our person that works there and is actually printing books there, he shared with me, he said, many younger people no longer go to mosques other than on Fridays. That's a day they do, but not on other days. And many younger people are asking, where is God in the midst of all of this? And he shared Josh's books, y'all's books, are like a key used to open discussions, opening the way to lead a person to Christ. One of the new books, Why Did God Do That?, was co-authored and written by one of our younger authors, dealing with some of the questions, especially from what the Old Testament says about the goodness of God. How can God be good? For example, when God said to the Israelites, destroy, kill everybody. Even, I think we all, it's like, where's the goodness of God in that? So Matthew and Josh address some of those kinds of stories and questions. And it reminds me of in the Gulf, the Arab Gulf, where they're saying, where is God's goodness in the midst of all of this? I could keep talking and talking and talking about what God is doing. God is faithful. Choose to fear the Lord. Choose to serve God with all of your heart. Choose to pass on God's faithfulness. That's what we get to do. Thank you so very much for this opportunity to share. And we love you guys and are so appreciative of how the Lord continues to use you and grow you. God bless.
Thanks. So your faithful giving to Victory Fellowship enables us to be able to help men like Dwayne and others that we support to take the gospel around the world. And it's always interesting to me to hear how that's happening. And as we sit here in our comfortable air-conditioned sanctuary on Sunday, we don't realize what's going on in the rest of the world. The price that some people are paying in order to get the gospel and to share the gospel. And yet faithful men and women are being used by God all around the world, through us, through Dwayne, to get the gospel to people that don't yet know. Praise the Lord. We appreciate you coming and sharing today. We're going to enjoy a good lunch with you guys in just a little while.
Amen.
Amen.